Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together, this place today. We acknowledge your presence here with us, and we open ourselves up to you, Lord, your direction, your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may fellowship with you and with your word, hear from you and be able, Lord, to apply it to our life and see, Lord, what you can do when we are opening ourselves up to you. We just praise and thank you, Lord, as we know that with you we can do all things, but without you we can do nothing. And we just acknowledge that, and we seek your face today. Bring us understanding, revelation. Bring us, Lord, the truth that set us free. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we've been really trying to get understanding about the way the Holy Spirit works with us. This is probably the most important thing that we can do. The fellowship with the Holy Spirit is critical for us. Because, you know, that's not generally what is emphasized. They emphasize the others more, you know, physical thing. But really what makes the difference in our walk is when we connect with the Holy Spirit at the spiritual level, with our heart and with our soul, so that he can impact that, because that is his work, his job. And that's not what generally is emphasized, because it's not the things that is more exciting, if you want, or the more is more appealing to our flesh. And we have to understand that, and this is why I'm really spending some time, okay, on some of the aspect that we need to grasp to be able really to benefit from what God has given us when Jesus went up to heaven. The Holy Spirit that wasn't available in the same way before, okay? And really, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is what to do what? What it says in John 16:12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And we really, you know, the now is always with God. Okay? There is always more for us to get from God than what we had up to now. If we think we are arrived, we are really missing the boat. We always need more, because God is infinite and he wants to bring us to places that we cannot even imagine. Okay? And it's not, you know, something that actually may in some cases even interest us, because our attention is at that, you know, caught up in other things. So, you know, we had to really understand God. We had to, in a way, get into his wavelength. We had to tune in right, okay? And this is not the way that we generally do, because we are used to tune in with the physical things in our world. And God is not a physical thing in his world. This world is a physical, is a spiritual presence in the world. And it's something that we had to learn, and this is why he gave us the Holy Spirit. See, that's his presence is manifested in the third person of the Trinity, in which he actually, you know, come in contact with us. This is the contact point between us and God, at least one of them. The one that is more experiential, the one that is more connecting with our being, okay? And so we had to understand that. And so the following verse gives us the whole story, you know, that his job is to, is first of all, the way he's called, the Spirit of Truth, is to reveal us the truth. And this is really the important thing we have to understand, that's what he's going to bring us to. Not necessarily the things that we are interested, but the truth that is going to set us free. As it says in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Is the word that it becomes real to us and it shows us the truth, not our ideas, not what our desires sometimes, but the things that is going to make a difference in our life and is going to set us free from bondage, all type of bondages, all the bondage that is reflected in the world today. Okay? The Holy Spirit is a gift given to us. Okay, that the purpose of that is to make us different than what we are naturally here. Make us able to become more and more like Jesus. Because this is the way what he's going to do. Glorify not us, but him. Glorify him and take what is his and give it to us, explain it to us so that we understand it, because sometimes we don't. And we need to grasp that truth. This is where the revelation comes, through our relationship, your personal relationship with him, that takes place in which he opens our eyes. He enables us to see things that otherwise in the physical we cannot experience and we cannot understand. This is why, you know, sometimes the way we are trained, the way we think, limit us instead of, he has to break through. And we have to be ready for that. And that readiness is not just, you know, one event that happens once, but it's an ongoing process according to which we are transformed. And this is the renewal of the mind that should be taking place inside us. Okay? And what is helping us to do is what it says really in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 24. It says there, but I, you know, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the way we were before we connected with God. The old man which grow corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You see, our desire, our normal way of wanting things is going to be deceitful and is going to bring us in the wrong direction. But what he wants to do is to give us to be able to put on the new man, verse 24, which new man which was created according to God, not according to our ideas. And according to God, okay, enables us, so, you know, in true righteousness and holiness. The implication is called the Holy Spirit. Okay, he's going to bring us into holiness. He's not going to bring us into excitement. And that's one of the complications of the things, because people like much more to be excited than to be holy. But God is holy. That's the major character. He's separated. Holy doesn't mean, you know, religious. Holy means that he's separated from the worldly things, from the physical things. There is nothing wrong with the physical, but that has to be redeemed. That's what he's trying to do. That's what he's going to bring us to. Praise the Lord. And, you know, the reason why there is a resistance inside us is given very clearly in James chapter 4, okay? And this, this is why, you know, we had to learn to listen carefully and to be willing to be obedient, okay? There it says there, you know, you do not think that the scripture say in vain the Spirit dwells in us earn jealously, okay? There is a conflict there, a jealousy of the Holy Spirit against the flesh, because we have the tendency to be attracted by the flesh. Okay. And so, you know, this is following verse 4, 6, okay, James 4, 6, said, but he gives more grace, Therefore, he says, God resisted the proud and gave place to the humble. And here, you know, when he talks about resisting the proud, it's not, you know, giving grace to the humble. Humble means this is submitted. Somebody that submit himself to God's will. Somebody that submit himself to what the direction that he's giving us. That is sometime against our own, the things I said before, you know, deceitful, the lust or desires or whatever you want to call them. Okay, that's the implication, the normal tendency, okay, that we have. Okay, but, you know, so the Spirit dwells in us. Okay, and God resists the proud, and proud is the one that wants to do his own thing. He's the one who's in control. The humble is the one who's submitted to God. He's willing to do the things that God ask us to do, that direct us to do, that the Holy Spirit teaches us to do. Hallelujah. Okay. Listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, what it does is has an effect on us and change us at a different level. You know, change us in the way we think, because, you know, Holy Spirit works through our thought, giving logic, but doesn't stop there. You know, it changes the position of our heart, the desires that are inside there, the emotion, the feeling that we have inside, and finally changes his will. And when that happened, the process took place, then we are going to start to see the result. But we can start to see how he works in us for the change that take place gradually from one place to another. You may, you know, hear the voice of God and hear what the scriptures say and say, yes, okay, that sounds good, but, you know, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can feel about doing that. But that's the thing that he wants to do. And that happens when you start meditating on the word. We just start allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the things, reveal the blessing. You know, we are here, initially I'm dealing with the negative part of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. But if you don't understand the negative part, you're never going to get into the positive. And this is why you have to understand that unless we respond properly, we are not going to be able to be recipient of what God wants to give us in the first place. And so, but when we understand the process that has to take place, we are going to be open to it. Because that is not what the world likes to do. That's not what most of the people want to do. And so we had to have the preparation. You see, you cannot bear them, Jesus said. This is exactly the truth. Because, you know, the strength of our feelings, or our emotion, that actually emotions means the things that keep us moving. Often in the wrong direction. You can't trust your feelings. You have to go to the truth. It's the truth that set you free, not your feeling. Generally, a feeling gets you in trouble. Because the attraction often is in the wrong thing. That's what the world follows. And we have to learn to operate not according to our flesh and to our desire, but according to the Spirit that is there ministering to you, bringing his revelation. But unless you connect with him, unless you are connected and listening and sometimes receiving even when you don't feel too comfortable about it. That's when really things start to happen. Because why? Because you don't feel comfortable, because there are things that are in, you know, the spirit and the flesh are fighting each other. And so, you know, that's the uncomfortable feeling. It's not necessarily something that you can trust, because the feelings are not reliable. Okay? So, and it says, you know, if God resisted the devil and got pride to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. I mean, that's a humble component. Okay? You have to be willing to be submitted to God, the way Jesus did, okay? And resist the devil. I mean, resist the tendency that is inside you that he's trying to stimulate, that's trying to connect with your lust, your desire, your physical things that take away from those things, okay? And what does it say there? You know, there, and he will flee, the devil will flee, the enemy will flee from you. You don't need to send it away. He can stand the presence of God inside you. It's not your power that overcomes the devil. is Jesus' power that is manifested in you, because you are aligning yourself up with Jesus and submitting himself to God, the Father, trusting him, you know, the way Jesus trusted him. That's the secret of his operation, of his success, his victory. He said it very clearly, myself, I can do nothing, but I just do what I see the Father doing. Myself, I can do nothing, but I don't have follow my will, but the will of my Father. See, he had reached the point in that transformation. He was there from the beginning, you know, and it demonstrated when he was tempted in the desert. Praise the Lord. He took the position, and we had to take the position, you know, for different areas in which we are going to be tested. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us to see the truth about these things. Praise the Lord. Okay. Listening to the Holy Spirit, what it does. And just not listening. Listening at the beginning. Then you start connecting with him. You start listening so that you are starting to even have different feeling and different will. And when you have got to that point, then you're going to get the result. You're going to get the power of God manifested in you. And it's not your power. And you know that it's not your power. And that's the problem. People want the power. God has all the power. Connect with God. The power is going to be there. You don't need to have any power. If you go after the power, you deceive yourself. That's what man tries to do. Praise the Lord. So when they start to listen, start to meditate on the scripture, it produces obedience because it changes your will. It changes your feeling. It changes the way you see everything. Start with the way you think, what the way you feel, and what you want. Because you understand the benefit and the power that is available to you, the manifest itself is not your power, and you know that. Praise the Lord. Okay, so there is going to be, okay, when we are not listening, let's take the negative part for now. Okay, there are consequences, and there are different consequences that we have to understand and recognize. Because if we do not recognize those consequences, then we are not going to take the action that we need to take. Okay? And it shows that we are missing the understanding of the process of the renewal of the mind that should be taking place. Okay? So we go in Ephesians chapter 4, okay? And we see that one of the things that happens here is the fact that the Holy Spirit is grieved when we are not listening. Grieved, you know, means simply, you know, not listening to the Holy Spirit. And that is an aspect that has to do with our relationship with him. You see, our relationship with him, if we are not listening, is affected. And he is grieved. See, the Holy Spirit is not something fuzzy or something, you know, is just a being, okay? It's just as a person, it's like a person. And when a person, you know, you don't listen to, they're not going to be really connecting with you. I mean, imagine that somebody tries to communicate to you and knows it's important and wants to help you, and you just, you rather watch TV or rather do other things that have nothing to do and that they know that they're not helping you. And you are there stubborn not to listen. Okay? And you care about them. Wouldn't you be upset, grieved by the situation because you know that he's going to damage himself? And he knows exactly that. And this is why he's grieved. He's emotionally involved in your progress or not, because he was sent to us so that we may make progress. So, you know, that grieving, you know, is an effect on the relationship with him that is getting damaged because we listen to other things. Okay? And this has an effect on us too. Okay? Damage also our own emotion, our own assurance of about our redemption. We just become more distant. We automatically start to backslide. That's what it means. The beginning of backsliding is not listening. Just the beginning. There is much more involved. But if we keep not listening, you are going to be backsliding bit by bit, just because it's the natural process take place. You don't want to be not listening. But to be listening, you have to be making an effort to listen. You may have to making an effort to, you know, the Holy Spirit is a dove. And that is a meaning, you know, a meaning. He is not pushy. He is going to speak to you if you receive him. He is not controlling. The devil and demons are controlling, not the Holy Spirit. That's why he's represented as a dove. He is gentle and kind. And if you react the wrong way, he just feel bad for you and is really grieved about this whole situation. Okay? This is a normal thing that the flesh is going to try to make you do. Okay? So, there are specific results about not listening that we are going to see in detail now. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption." So, what is talking about here? You know, this is one of the scriptures that are interpreted most of the time all the wrong way by Calvinistic ideas. Okay, here is that, you know, you are sealed in the way of redemption. That means, you know, because you got the Holy Spirit, you got it. You know, there is nothing way you cannot lose it. That's not saying a seal is not a guarantee. A seal is a guarantee only when the seal is not broken. When the seal is broken, means nothing. You know, like you get the message and it's a seal on top, you know, with the wax and stuff like that, and the seal is broken, you can't trust it anymore because it can be anything. Are you following what I'm saying? So that is a wrong interpretation about the thing. You know, here he's saying evidently, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. That means, you know, that you are not going to be able to be assured that you are going to make it. That means you're going to backslide and you are not even knowing it, especially if you had that kind of doctrine inside yourself. Oh, you know, I admit it because I got the Holy Spirit. Well, evidently the Bible is full of scriptures that shows the opposite. Amen. So, this is what's going to happen automatically, that, you know, we are going to start automatically to backslide. You don't have to do anything else. Slowly, you're going to be eroded in your feeling, in your thing, you don't care even anymore. Praise the Lord. You know, this is repeated in many scriptures. It's not just one. Okay, for example, in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You know, there Stephen was being preaching to the Jews. And they were just ready. And he was highly anointed by God to shake them up. And they were so upset about what he was saying that they stoned him. And he was beaming like an angel. He wasn't affected by whatever is going on, by the rejection. He was full with power and was speaking and preaching with them with such power that one of the leaders of the Jews, Paul at the time was Saul, you know, was saying that he was shaken to the point that he got saved afterwards. Okay. But there is that the things he said, you know, to addressing the Stephen, addressing to the leaders of the Jew, says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear, you always resist the Holy Spirit and your father as your fathers did, so do you." So the idea is, you know, you resist the Holy Spirit. He's trying to communicate with you and he was pointing the finger to whatever, but they didn't like that. You see, their flesh was reacting. But he was highly anointed. He didn't care. the rejection. He didn't care to be stoned. Jesus was standing before him. That's what he saw. Nothing. Didn't see the people that were mad at him, the people that were throwing to him. I strongly believe it. He didn't even feel anything about the pain because he was shining like an angel. Are you following me? See, that's a manifestation of actually the power of God, the Holy Spirit working that supersedes all the physical stuff. Praise the Lord. And he was speaking the truth, and he was speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go to the whole story there. If you want, you can go there and check it out yourself, you know, in Acts chapter 7. So, Isaiah said the same thing. This is Old Testament, this was New Testament. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10 says, but they, the Jews, the children of Israel, were, you know, rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. So he, referring to God, turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. So you see, one of the things that happens when you keep repeating that, you know, he gets God against you instead of for you anymore. Why? Because you reject him all the time. And he just doesn't want you to be rejected. He knows it doesn't get anywhere. There is much more I could go on this, but I don't think I need to. You know, the important thing is to understand that God does not like when we just reject what he's trying to get across to us. And he gets fed up with it. Other scripture shows even more. We're going to see them later on. Okay, so this is why, for example, Paul's instruction to Timothy, okay, in how to listen to the Holy Spirit, he gives us a list of things in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. We're going to go through that. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was being given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. You see, this is the process that's taking place as the Holy Spirit works inside you. Okay, meditate on these things. Oh, I lost the mark here. Yeah. Give yourself entirely to them. Sounds like another scripture we're going to read later. That your progress may be evident to all. Praise the Lord. Grieving as an emotional component, okay, that as in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, actually our emotional relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Okay. As an effect on our attachment, our ability to connect with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay. And that as essentially an impact in what the Bible called the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The fact that we and the Holy Spirit are connected and there is a relationship there of really be able to communicate properly with one another. Our desire to be connected with him. And we are not grieving him, but we are having a good relationship with him. And we know it, and he knows it, and we bless for that, as you are going to see later on. Okay. Again, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to prompt us information, inform, prompt us direction. Okay. The prompting of the Holy Spirit is really to bring you to understand the will of God for you. Okay. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourself and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. You see, this is really, praying without ceasing is really the way that you have to be connected with God. It's not there praying, you know, the way, just, you know, the continuously you are in communion with the Holy Spirit, communicating with him, aware of his presence, and hoping to his input. He, You know, sometimes I got the biggest revelation. You know, I remember in the past when I was working, you know, for the government, and I would get home and I would take the bus to go home. And I had a piece of way that I would go from the bus stop to home was about 5 minutes walk, you know. And at that time, you know, my mind was free from all the other thinking, and I was walking back home. Often the Holy Spirit talked to me very clearly, giving me direction for the things either they happen in the day or the things that I had to do. I got so much stuff just walking that little piece of, because there was nothing in my mind interrupting, competing with what he was doing. I was just tired and relaxed, and he had the opportunity to communicate with me in a way. Okay. This is what talking, pray without ceasing, just aware of his presence and let it talk to you, okay? And then says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, in everything. Everything, some people say. Do not quench, okay? And this is comes the last part of this teaching. Before we see all the prompts of the Holy Spirit, all the different things that we should remember to do, that we should be willing to do. But this says, the final one, the conclusion is, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Now, this is another aspect that really summarizes all the things they were saying before. All the things they were saying before was all the different things that the Holy Spirit will tell us. So, how do you quench the Holy Spirit? You don't do the things he tells you to do. That's what it means. You see, quenching the Holy Spirit is not responding, not allowing what he tells you to guide you to do the things you should be doing. Now, this is a step beyond not listening. You see, before you shut him off. Now you got the message and you refuse to do it. Okay, that is quenching the Holy Spirit. Before, the reaction was just affecting your emotion. Now, when you make a decision to quench the Holy Spirit, actually you take a negative position against what he said. And you stop him from being able to do the things he would like to do, because what he's telling you to do is for him to be able to come in personally and help you in those things. Are you following me? See, what we are talking about here is, the Holy Spirit work, when he speaks to us, his prompting should convict us to obey and to use our spiritual gifts and to be obedient in the things he wants to do with us and with others, okay? Quenching the Holy Spirit, produces the fact that he cannot work. And that produces stagnation. We are going to get stuck. That's what happens. See, what I said before, the fact of not listening to the Holy Spirit effect grieves him. Now, what happens when we refuse to do, we stop him from being able to do the things that he wants to do. Shut down the activity and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have the power to do that as we disobey his prompting, because he's there and we are responsible for that. Hallelujah. There are now bigger consequences than just not listening. You see, this is the next step. Before, we were just quenching him and we didn't do anything because we weren't hearing. And so now we heard and we do nothing about it and not turn them up. That actually stop him actually to do anything to help you, okay? So that is actually his obedience. Now, we are moving into another area then. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, talks about that, okay? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness. Now, this is showing us the next step is disobedience. Okay? And it says, when you hear me, don't do like at the time of rebellion. Don't be rebellious. You see, refusing to do what he wants to do is rebellion against his will. Okay? So that produces, you know, a consequence that is major. Okay, disobeying the Holy Spirit and produces the hardening of the heart. That means the heart becomes insensitive, unresponsive to the Holy Spirit voice, so that after you don't even hear him anymore. Okay, that's the consequence. So that also is more. I'm going from one to the other and become deeper and deeper. The impact is going to be major in this case. Okay, so because you were born unresponsive, you know, then let me talk about children. You know, children, sometimes they have their own ideas. They don't want to do what the parents want them to do. Okay, so what they do? They try it. They push the button. They try to see as far as they can get. The children of Israel were doing exactly the same thing. They were complaining all the time. They were doing things, you know, they were dragging their feet and everything else, and they pay the consequences. You see, this is rebellious children test their parents. So they did the children of Israel. You know, says there, you know, like in the days of trial in the wilderness, verse 9, Hebrews 3:9, where your father tested me, tried me, and saw my works. In, you know, and saw them my works for 40 years. So, I mean, they saw the supernatural work of God that was working in them. They were exposed to, you know, Moses teaching and direction. Well, even Moses' interception for them was enough. No, it wasn't enough. You see, what happened is the following verse 10. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my way. So you see, the fact that they saw this, all this supernatural stuff happening wasn't enough. Why? Because their heart wasn't open, because they didn't listen, because they weren't ready to obey. Okay, so that's what happened. So verse 11, with God's position, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter the rest. That's the position, you see, the hardening of the heart produces, you know, the fact that God becomes actually against us. That means, you know, you may not be able to get back. It's a serious consequence. Okay. The following verse, verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there is any in you with an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Okay. Because, why? You see, sin produces self-deception, okay, hardens in heart, so that we lose the wisdom, the ability to follow what he's telling us to do. And our union with Christ is damaged. So, for we have become partakers of Christ, and we should know better if we hold to from the beginning of our confidence steadfast in the end. See, doesn't matter what our past was. Doesn't matter the decision we made before. It's now the counsel, the time with God. Not what, you cannot go on the things that happened yesterday. It's today that he wants to speak to you. It's today that you have to respond. It's today that you allow him to guide you. And that one makes all the difference, you know. And verse 11 and following says very clearly, you know, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Okay. Beware, brethren, then, you know, lest any of you with the evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. This is what produces the separation of us from God. But what you should do, exhort one another daily while we call today, lest any of you be hardened throughout the deceitfulness of sin. So the idea is that, you know, we shouldn't just do it for ourselves, but we should help even others. It's so important that we should help by exhorting them to follow and to listen to the Holy Spirit and to do the things so that they are listening and actually doing. Hallelujah. So the consequence, if you hear your voice, okay, it's important for us to act right away. Immediately, okay? verse 15 and 16 and following says, you know, say, therefore, I say, today, you, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Okay, for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, he was not all who came out of Egypt and led by Moses. So you see, you know, here he's talking about, again, today some ideas, you know, that it doesn't matter once you got the Holy Spirit, it's okay. No, you know, here it's pretty clearly shown. This is an example for us. We have to understand the example that, you know, we can get the result that they got, okay? And this is most of the children of Israel miss completely all the blessing that God had prepared for them to go in the promised land. Why? Because they were stiff-necked and they, you know, didn't allow, didn't listen, didn't obey the Holy Spirit teaching, and what was going on didn't, wasn't enough for them. Moses interceded for them. They were seeing supernatural resulting in all over the place, and they did nothing. They stayed in the flesh. They refused to follow the Holy Spirit. Okay. It says, you know, verse 17 there, okay? Now, with whom was he, God, angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, who said, you know, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter the rest, but those who did not obey? So the obedience is important. Okay. And there, you know, so we can see that they could not enter because of unbelief, because they didn't believe what God was telling them, because they didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, what is talking about here? Okay, when we persist in disobedience, okay, this leads a gradual dulling of our spiritual ability to hear. Sin becomes easy to justify. Repentance becomes harder and harder to initiate and becomes more and more easy for us to ignore God, the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of God. Okay? So, one of the things for that is one of the other things, you know, disobeying brings loss of spiritual discernment and direction. That's what took place. For example, talking about walking in the Spirit, okay, empower us to overcome the flesh. Not walking in the flesh disable us to walking in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5. That's good. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Says, verse 16. I say them, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is doing what he tells you to do. But if you don't listen, you are not going to know what he tells you to do. If you listen and you don't do what he says, then you are not walking in the Spirit because you are in rebellion. We saw all the different steps here. So the idea is that we have to learn to be sensitive to what you hear. Recognize the voice. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is not pushy, but, you know, he's going to communicate to you and keep communicating to you, trying to get you across to you. If you don't listen, he doesn't change. He is going to continue to push on the same thing, and you get stuck. You don't get anywhere. And then you wonder why things are not happening that you're supposed to be receiving. Well, because you don't listen, and so he is not going to do anything. He waits for you to do the things that he tells you to do. Now, the more things you don't do, the more things accumulate. But generally, there is a critical things that need to be done. Okay, so the walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, this is the same thing. You know, what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the Spirit is Spirit. You had to learn to recognize which is which. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. I mean, has desire contrary to the Spirit. Okay. And the Spirit against the flesh. This we also said before. You know, and these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish or that you should be doing. Okay. So, For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. Set your mind is phroneo, which is actually, you know, it means, you know, an attitude involving your thought, your emotions, and your will. Okay, so you set your attitude that you always, you know, an attitude that are always two sides of the story. You choose one rather than another. You think this is okay or this is not okay. This is right and this is wrong. This I'm going to do, this I'm not going to do. Okay, so here he's saying, you know, that those who live according to the flesh set their things on the mind of the flesh, those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. Okay, that means that you care, that you focus on, that you value all the different things. The way and what you do, what the way you walk shows what you value, what you are for you important, what you choose to do is actually the final conclusion of the story. Okay? So, but and then come to the conclusion, Romans 8, 6 says, for the carnally minded is death, but your spiritual minded is life and peace. I mean, you know, death is pretty clear. He's talking about spiritual death. You know, we lose the connection. We don't have the life of God inside us anymore. And that should clarify once for all about what God is saying about that doctrine. Okay? Because carnally minded is enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God, not indeed can be. So those who are the flesh cannot please God. Now, if God is not pleased, he is not going to help you. He is not going to do the things for you because he has some expectations, as we have seen before. Okay? If God is not pleased, you are not going to get rewarded. You are not going to get blessed. The Holy Spirit is has the purpose of guiding you, teaching you, and reminding you so that you are not going to resist the Holy Spirit, okay? And, you know, you're resisting as an effect on the guidance you get, the teaching you hear, and the fact that you are going to remain, you know, effect on the decision you are making that are going to become more self-driven than spirit-driven, okay? And that produces confusion in you. Wisdom feel out of reach. You don't know anymore what is right and what is wrong, and you wonder why. Okay? So there are consequences. You see, the law of sowing and reaping is a critical law that applies all the time and is working all the time, if we like it or not, in our favor or in not our favor. Okay? In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 8, and so on, it says, do not be deceived. So evidently, we can easily be deceived. He said, may you show us that. Okay? God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Okay? For he who sows to his flesh will also to the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So, you know, we want everlasting life. We want God's blessing. We want the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, we had to not be rebellious. We had to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's his function. You see, if we don't do this part, the other part, the blessing is not going to come. And people preach about the blessing, but they don't preach about really the situation that you, prepares you for the blessing. You see, you had to be ready to receive. You had to put yourself in a place in which you can receive because God is pleased with you and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. So, sowing to the flesh, produce corruption. You know, who sow to this flesh, with the flesh reaps corruption. Corruption means, you know, broken relationship with God, inner turmoil, you know, inner problem within yourself that you don't know anymore what you are doing and you are confused and everything else, okay? Addictive patterns of doing things that you shouldn't be doing, and spiritual dryness. You are not connecting with God. You are not going to be blessed, okay? Sowing in the spirit instead produces life and peace. You know it. You are okay, and God is there with you, and you know, and you come into his presence, and it's normal for you to be there. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. So we are going to come, you know, I think we are ready to move into the other area now. Because when you know what not to do, and you don't do it, then you know, you do the things you have to do. And you're going to do get the result that God promises. Okay, so here we can see, you know, the blessing of for starting, the blessing start by listening to the Holy Spirit and then responding properly, okay? And then applying yourself properly, and we're going to see just in a minute. John 14, 26 says, but the helper, you see, that's the purpose he was put there in the first place. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. So this is the function, the way he is going to help us. You know, helping us means that there are things that we need to be helped for, and he is there. You know, another way that this, the Holy Spirit is called is the standby. The one is there next to you to help you. Or, you know, the advocate, the one that, you know, say, helps you to move in the right direction and, you know, to do the right thing. Okay, the Holy Spirit, you know, the name itself, to tell the story, the Holy Spirit is not going to make you wild, he's going to make you holy. Okay, holiness, that's Holy Spirit implied there. Okay, that means separation from the world, overcoming the flesh, and spiritual growth. That's the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, believer must be taught to recognize, you know, any of the fleshy imitation of the Holy Spirit, because that's what the devil does. He produces imitation that are fake, and they are going, you're going to get caught because they appeal to your flesh. We are going to hopefully have the time to deal with that too. Praise the Lord. So, how? Okay. How do we know? How do we are going to be led? How we are going to walk in the Spirit? Romans 8:14 says, for as many are they led by the Spirit of God, they are the Son of God. So the way of me, you know, the Son-seed relationship with God indicate the fact that we are connected with him. And that he is the one controlling, the guiding us, that we are submitted with him. The one, that was the distinction between the Pharisees and what Jesus was saying, you know, you of the Son are the sons of the devil. They were religious, you know, to the point of being fanatical about their religion, but didn't make anything because they weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. They were listening to their laws and were trying to do according to their own abilities. God doesn't work that way. God works about his power, his anointing, and the Holy Spirit guiding you into those areas. Hallelujah. So, you know, that means, you know, developing a personal relationship with God. Okay, when you develop a personal relationship with God, is to empower you, okay, to manifest the works and the fruit of the Spirit in your life, not the works of the flesh. Okay, he's going to eliminate the work of the flesh, and he's going to enable you to do the works of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit are going to be manifested in you. Okay, how do you do that? Well, we mentioned before, but we can continue this. Okay, you dwell, you meditate on the word of God, you know, and it's the way actually to make that connection, to give importance. You have to start giving importance to that connection, to spend time with him and spend time with the word. You know, again, John 8, 31 and 32, you know, you stay, dwell in my word dwell in you, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall let you free. You see, you know the truth by the Holy Spirit revealing it to you. You are are dwelling in there, and it's affecting you, and it's transforming you. When you know the truth, with that comes the anointing and the power to do the right thing. Because it's not your power. You see, when God works, he's not, you are not working. If you are working, you have to come to the rest to be able to let God work. You have to get out of the way. Because otherwise you are going to try to control the situation yourself. You cannot do it. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Okay, we start to get close to really see. So, you know, the whole story is in Psalm 1, the first three verses there. Blessed is the man. Want to get blessed? That's the way. Okay, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, see, that's what delights you. That's what your desire is. That, you know, you don't desire things of the world. You desire what? Desire what it says here. The law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. That means, you know, your attention, your what you care about, what you value, you know what is of value and what is not. Okay? And what happens to you? It doesn't say that then you have to work really hard to do anything. No. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth his fruit in his season, whom shall leaf shall also not wither, but whatever he does shall prosper. I mean, what he's talking about, does a tree make such an effort to produce fruit? They just come naturally out of it. The leaves are green because there is abundant water. They are by the river of water. That's the river of water. The water is the word. Okay, as you are there in the right place with the right focus, doing, you know, caring about the right things, everything you do shall prosper. Praise the Lord. Okay, but if you don't, then you do the things that you think you should be doing, and you're going to work really hard and get nowhere. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The fruit of obedience. Okay. Okay. A couple of few verses, and we can cover it with that. We cover lots of verses today. Okay? So just lots of stuff there. You better review it and assimilate it and let the Lord minister to you with that, because, you know, there is power in these scriptures. Power that we need to overcome, to be strong, and not to have fight all the time. We don't need to fight the enemy. God fights for us, like he did sometime for Israel when they were going to war. Praise the Lord. So, here it is. Okay. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. The fruit of obedience. Says there, let us not grow weary of doing good. But in due time, in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You see, the grow weary comes because of the fact that we try to do in our own strength and we don't get anywhere. Okay, so we have to start instead meditating on the word, focusing on the word, focusing on God, valuing what he says. The Holy Spirit will empower us to overcome and to get the result. Okay. In Romans chapter 6, verse 21 says, but what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So from flesh comes that shame and death. The fruit of God is growing effortless, like when you are connected with the vine. But from having been set free from sin and having become slave to God, you have now the fruit of holiness and the end of his everlasting life. You see, the life of God is inside you, empowering you, producing the result. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. See, that's the power that is eternal life. Is not just a religious term. This is really the life inside us that manifests itself supernaturally to produce the result that we cannot do ourselves. Praise the Lord. So, let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. See, this is what the word says concerning this thing. There is much more. I mean, we are going to see, you know, we haven't talked about the work of the Spirit yet and the fruit of the Spirit. We are going to get into that because we have to understand the difference and we have to understand. But if we don't understand what we cover now, you're going to distort what is coming after because you expect something that you're never going to experience. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. They give us all the wisdom and the information we need to be able to connect with you and to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us and empowering us to overcome the flesh, sin, and the enemy that is trying to distract us and affect us in many different ways. We thank you that we can know in our heart that you are guiding us and empowering us to overcome the enemy who is going to flee from us because we submit ourselves to you. Thank you for your love, for your patience with us, and for your power that is going to be demonstrated in our life as we submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.